Good evening, everybody, from Gustavus City Hall, and welcome to the Gustavus City Council's general meeting of May 9, 2022. It's 7 p.m., and I'd like to call the meeting to order. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis? Councilmember Lewis? You might be muted still.
Is she showing up on the...
All right, Council Member Sharman.
Here.
Council Member Makoviak.
Here.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Council Member Furr.
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
All right, all council members are present and a quorum exists.
Thank you. We begin with, as always, with our vision statement, and Councilmember Furr, I believe, is scheduled to read it this week. Councilmember Furr, do you need to project it on the screen here, I think?
Yeah. Thank you. So our vision statement is we envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you. And as we start the meeting, I'll remind the public to mute your phones and your computers if you're on Zoom, and keep the video off on the Zoom so we can have enough bandwidth here. The meeting is being recorded now, and it'll be posted to the website. The packet will be projected and is also available online at cms.gustavus-ak.gov, the city website. I'd like to begin with something special here. Before we get into the regular agenda, because it is the week in which we recognize the professionalism of our municipal clerks. It is Professional Municipal Clerks Week. And I have a proclamation to read and to present to our wonderful clerk who works so hard for us and keeps us organized here for our meetings. And I'll read it first here and then hand it to her. Whereas the Office of Professional Municipal Clerk, a time-honored and vital part of local government, exists throughout the world, and whereas the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk is the oldest among public servants, and whereas the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk provides the professional link between the citizens, the local government bodies, and the agencies of government at other levels, and whereas professional municipal clerks have pledged to be ever mindful of their neutrality and impartiality, rendering equal service to all, and whereas the professional municipal clerk serves as the information center on functions of local government and community, and whereas professional municipal clerks continually strive to improve the administration of the affairs of the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk through participation in education programs, seminars, workshops, and the annual meetings of their state, provincial, county, and international professional organizations. And whereas it is most important that we recognize the accomplishments of the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk. Now, therefore, I, Michael Taylor, Mayor of the City of Gustavus, do recognize the week of May 1 through May 7, 2022, as Professional Municipal Clerks Week, and further extend appreciation to our professional municipal clerk, Karen Platt, for the vital services she performs and her exemplary dedication to the community of Gustavus. Dated this first of May, 2022. So.
Thank you
for your wonderful service.
I appreciate that.
Okay. The next item is approval of the minutes, the work of our professional municipal clerk here. And we have minutes to approve from our general meeting of April 11, 2022, and our special meeting of April 25, 2022, which we've all reviewed previously. And I believe Council Member Kyle Bishop has a motion for us to approve this.
I move to approve by unanimous consent the 4/11/2022 general meeting minutes and the 4/25/2022 special meeting minutes.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the meetings or the minutes of the general meeting of April 11, 2022 and the special meeting of April 25, 2022. Do any members of the public have any additions or corrections to the minutes that have been in the packet? Okay, seeing none, do any council members have any additions or corrections to the minutes as they appeared in the packet? Okay, are there any objections to unanimous consent approval of the minutes? Okay, seeing no objections, the minutes are approved as presented. The next item is the mayor's request for agenda changes, and I have no changes for the agenda. Are there any council members with any special requests on the agenda? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up, so we'll consider the agenda set. We now move on to committee reports and staff reports. And the first is from the Gustavus Visitors Association. We have Leah Oaken here in the audience. And Leah, if you'd like to step up to the microphone, she's out of view of the video, but I think everybody will be able to hear her.
Can you hear me okay?
You're coming out loud and clear on our speakers here. So.
Okay. I'm going to set my stopwatch here so I don't talk too much. A second. Let's see.
I'm sorry, your time is up.
Right. Karen, you might just have to just keep me on track here. Just rein me in if I talk too much. It might take my whole 3 seconds just finding my stopwatch. So I'm here in person, and this is first time for a long time. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you. So I'm going to go through the quarterly report for the Gustavus Business Association and just highlight and touch on some of the aspects, but feel free to stop me and ask me questions along the way. So I can't see the screen, so hopefully Karen will be able to follow along. Just let me know, Karen, if there's any problems there. So our quarterly report, just so for the members of the public and everybody understands, it's what has the Visitors Association been up to this quarter, which is February, let's see. So this quarter reflects the activities from the GVA from February, this last February, to April. Okay. And our projected goals and objectives for May through to July. So that's the quarterly period. Mm-hmm. So what have we been up to from May to April? So that's to start with. Well, we are completed to tasks. So we continue our memberships and maintain our marketing through the Southeast Alaska Tourism Council, Travel Alaska, the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and Travel Juneau. These are big, huge organizations that have deep pockets in marketing. If we maintain a presence on their sites, we have a much bigger outreach. So anybody who is on our website will benefit from the added marketing onto these large agency websites as well. So the next bulletin is we've been distributing the Gustavus News Bulletin, and I've sent it out to City Council, and some of the members of the public have received them. I cannot send this out to people who haven't subscribed, who haven't asked me to send them. So if you're not on this list and you'd like to be on this subscription list, please let me know and I'll add you to it. And what it is I realize that we don't have a newspaper at the moment. And when people were not going out and socializing, there was a lack of information about what was going on in town. And I kept hearing rumors about questions, you know, what is this and what is that going on in town? So I thought this is a gap that needs to be filled so that we can, you know, how can the information get to people? Some people get it through Facebook, through rumor mill, but some people get it through the news groups or the library group. But if you're not a part of Facebook and you're not a subscriber to the news group or to the library group, you know, how do you get your information? So I thought by printing and also by emailing snippets of information, you know what's going on with the Gustavus Inn, or you know, what's that big, you know, the last one was what's that big gap that's in front of being excavated in front of Toshko at the moment, what's that going to be? So those sorts of questions that people have, I'm providing the answers for. So it's information. And it's been a huge success. We've had, you know, I don't put it out on a monthly basis. I put it out haphazardly because there isn't always information to give out. So I wait until there's worthwhile information, I collect it and then give it out. And this last time that I sent it out, this quarter, I've had 25 more people who wanted to subscribe to this news bulletin. So it's been a success. So if you're out there and you're listening and you'd like to subscribe and find out what I've been saying, let me know and I'll send you a copy. So that's the bulletins. The Alaska Travel Industry Association. So I attend all of the association meetings. And so what's been going on in the Alaska Travel Industry Association at the moment is they're talking about, just to bring you all up to speed on that, the Alaska is experiencing a huge volume of visitors this year. What we're trying to do with our marketing, or you know, the large agencies like the Alaska Travel Industry Association, is that they're instead of marketing for visitors, they're marketing for staff. There's a big lack of staff in the visitor industry in Alaska. But fortunately, we're not feeling that here in Gustavus. And the other thing is managing visitor expectations. Everything is very expensive because there's a lack of staff. The service is going to be limited. Quality of service is going to be maybe not what they're thinking. they're getting with the amount of money they're paying. So managing visitor expectations. So that's what's going on in the visitor industry across the state. So we also did a 3-month social media campaign. This was a big investment, and it's very important for us when we do any investment that we make sure that we're spending it wisely. So we monitor it, we're looking at it to see what kind of a return on investment are we getting for that marketing. So we did a huge social media marketing campaign through the Alaska Magazine. And what we got with those measurables, we got over 1 million. Let me find it. Let's see. Basically, we tracking that, quantifying. We got 1 million so 1 million clicks on that last campaign in the first month that it went out, and we did it for 3 months. So a huge return on investment for that. And when we're looking at return investment, we're not looking at trying to attract people for this year, it's for future years. So we've printed out, also we're relocating the kiosk at the beach to have the backdrop of the mountains rather than the backdrop of the fuel. So that's under process. What else have we been up to? The events calendar. I don't know if you've seen this, but on our website, we put all events that are happening in Gustavus can be viewed. If you bookmark or if you go to our visitor website, this is not just for visitors. This is very much community orientated. So all events that are going on in Gustavus can be seen in one place. And it's not just what's going on at the community center or what's going on at the library. You know, if someone's having a small, some other, like a plant sale, where do they advertise that? Well, they can advertise it on our calendar. So you want to see all the events that are going on in one shop, one spot. If you have a look at the GVA calendar, it'll all be on that site. We've got our map and brochures out. So they're all up and running, and we're distributing those, the updated maps with including more trails. So everything that we're doing is monitored and tracking. The only way we can find out if we're spending our money wisely is by tracking it. Are we hitting our goals? How do we set our goals? Are they achievable? Did we achieve them? Everything needs to be monitored so that we can adjust. And the analytics to our website is a fantastic resource of looking at, when somebody clicks on, Where are they migrating to? Have I run out of time? About 5 minutes. Okay, I'll wrap it up. So this is probably one of the, I'll try and wrap it up fast. This is probably the most important aspect of any kind of marketing, anything anybody does, is what are you doing? Is it effective? Are we getting a return on our investment? Making sure that our ad spend is wisely. And so we have, and looking at conversions and what a conversion is versus an engagement. An engagement is somebody who clicks to our website. If it's an organic engagement, it means they went to our website organically. If it was versus coming to our website through a campaign. A conversion is when they come to our website, they interacted with it. Maybe they clicked on a phone number or they clicked on a business website. So that campaign that we did, or actually in this last month, we got 3,000 conversions. So 3,000 people clicking on our website onto either a map, onto a brochure, or onto a phone number. So we're having we can see and we can monitor our return for our investment and readjust, which has been great. And we're doing very well. So that's what we've been up to. What are we doing next quarter? Our big plans, the next big plan, we allocated a large amount of our next budget to another film or to a collection of story films, short films. What we want to do is capture what is different about Gustavus. What is our Gustavus story? The last film we did, it had wonderful images and photography of the bears, wonderful footage of whales and the activities. You can get that anywhere in Alaska. Why should people come to Gustavus? Who are the characters? What makes Gustavus a different place than anywhere else in Alaska? You know, the music, the art, the personalities, our story. That's what we're going to capture into the next movie that can also be utilized in campaigns or for anybody. So when we make it, it's going to be shared. It'll be shared for everybody. We won't own it. We'll give it to any business who wants to utilize it. So that's our next big investment for the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on with the GVA. Do any council members have any questions for Leah while she's here on her report? And I hope it's a very nice written report in our packet. So I hope people, if you haven't seen it, will look through it and appreciate what's being done there. Okay, well, thank you very much, Leah. Next is our Marine Facilities Coordinator, and we have a written report in there from Ben Sadler. And I don't know if Ben's on. Ben, are you online? And if so, would you like to give us a brief review on what you're doing as you have just come back to work in the position after the winter?
Yes, thank you, Mike. Hello, everyone. Like I said in my report, sorry it was so short. Just didn't have a whole lot to say. I am back at work. I'm currently only working 10 hours a week, so just trying to get as much done as possible in that small amount of time. I've started working on adding an addition onto the shed in the boat harbor. I've started basic float repairs. Today I was able to repair the sidewalls on the boat launch. And just trying to get things cleaned up in the boat harbor, down at the beach, get prepared for what looks to be a really busy season coming up. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Looks like Councilmember Sharman has a question for you, Ben.
Ben, can you give us an update on the status and timing of the steel float?
You know, unfortunately, Lewis, I can't give you much of an update. The last thing that I heard was that Western Marine was coming over, I believe, next week, and that, or at the end of this week, and that they would be bringing the float over when they were able to do the repairs, but they are currently waiting on DOT to fabricate the pieces that were broken in the storm. So it was something that I thought today a little bit too late, like, oh, I should have tried to get an update so that I could give that tonight. I didn't do that, but if Tom can answer the question better, then I will send an email tomorrow and see if I can get a better, something better to let you guys know, and then send that out in an email to the council. I apologize for not having done that before this meeting.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to hearing the latest on that, and we'll get out a note to the news if there's any change in that schedule. Any other questions for Ben from the council? Okay, well, thank you, Ben, for hitting the ground running here and getting our marine facilities ready for a busy summer. Okay, the next report is from our Disposal and Recycling Center, the quarterly report from Paul Berry. Paul, are you online here?
Can you hear me?
We can. Good.
Okay, my connectivity is pretty poor, so I'm sorry if I come and go. My report is pretty thorough on what we've been up to. May is a really busy month, but also in that, I did something I've wanted to do at least every year is calculate how much is disposed of in the mound. And so I put that in a portion of the report so you can kind of see how much capacity we're using on an annual basis and how close it is to that plan that was developed by Vista Geoenvironmental last winter. And I came up with 255 yards over the course of a year. The plan estimated 250 yards. So basically that means the growth that's estimated in that landfill development plan is so far on track. And that's something that will matter to the community going forward, how long the community can use that area inside the fence when they're going to need to expand it. The recycling highlights, it was really good to work with the city and borough of Juneau to recycle our mixed paper. It's not a recycled mixed paper, so I was really pleased that that worked out for everybody. The compost sale, as far as selling out on our compost in April, there's a few cans left, but the bulk of it was sold in the one day. And also I put online our lab report for the quality of the compost, and that's listed on there. The equipment status as far as having our 770 back in service, which is really good because now we've got issues with the other loader. But it's really great having an operator, Ian, who is a competent diesel mechanic and is able to work with diesel mechanic stuff. That's really very fortunate. The big news is the coming hazardous waste event this coming Sunday. And that's going to be, I'm glad it's the second one, so I know a lot more of what to anticipate than the first one. Hopefully all the materials for that will be coming out on the ferry on Thursday or earlier. I guess it would have had to have been today, so we can be prepared for that going into Sunday. The Zender training, which is happening right now, that's really cool. We have 9 individuals from around the state. They're coming to learn more about solid waste and share their issues. There's a lot of interest in food waste composting, glass pulverizing and stuff like that. It's really, it's an honor to be able to show people our facility and kind of show that what we've been doing and learn some things from them. I included some stuff on the groundwater sample, but I don't have my report ready yet. So I'll be covering that in my next report. I did mention the 5% fee increase, which hopefully will be a resolution coming before the council in the June meeting. So it can, because it is, we've incorporated it into our July budget. So that's an important thing. And then I've given my capital project summaries, which, you know, some projects are moving forward and some aren't. After the hazardous waste event, I will be having a meeting with P&D engineers to kind of get started on the new building design. That's a very important project for me and something I really want to see going. May's a busy month. It's nice to see the community getting going again after slowing down after the pandemic, but it also means there's a lot of waste that's going to be flowing through our facility. And the DRC, the city, is searching for another pool member to replace Ida, who is seeking full-time employment. So hopefully someone out there will be interested in working at the recycling center. That's all I got. If you have any questions.
Thank you, Paul. And Paul's very nice and complete report is in text in the packet. And so I hope people will take time to read that. Do any council members have a question for Paul on his report? No hands coming up. So thank you very much, Paul. Another busy month at the DRC, and it's going to get busier. So thanks a lot. Okay, the next is our City Treasurer Quarterly Report. And Madam Treasurer, I think she's online from her office here.
So here we are on the screen. Can you guys hear me?
I think you're a little faint in here, so if you can speak closer to your mic.
What about now?
That sounds good
Is
to
it
me.
Good now?
Okay.
So good evening, everybody. As well as Ben, my report is a little short, but I will start by saying that our budget We are over three quarters to the fiscal year and our operating budget is looking good. The tax income has exceeded our conservative projections from last spring. As of April 30th, our local tax income has exceeded our budgeted local revenues with one quarter still to be received by the end of July. So that being said, we have, I drafted a little thing here with our local revenue and what was initially projected in our budget, and the second column is what we actually received as of April 30th. I can add that I'm still receiving local revenue from the first quarter. So this will be even up, more up. On the federal revenue, we have received from ARPA, American Rescue Plan, and from our local government loss revenue relief, $102,000 and $161,000. And these funds are yet to be designed for use. That means that they were not spent yet. In terms of grants, the library received $10,000 from the Alaska Community Foundation. And the purpose of this grant is to support camp opportunities for youth. And also our fire department received volunteer fire assistance of $3,946.14. So we are aware that we are going to discuss the budget later on our agenda. And as usual, I'm happy to address any questions, and I can be reached by phone here or email. I also would like to add that our administrator is leaving, and I would like to thank him for his support and patience in mentoring me with professionalism and grace. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Treasurer. Another strong financial report for the city of Gustavus. We continue to run a financially tight ship with a very strong financial outlook. Do any council members have any questions for our treasurer? Not seeing anything come up on the screen here. Let me make sure I'm okay. Well, thank you very much, Madam Treasurer. We'll move on to the last of the reports is from our city administrator, Tom Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening. Well, the first item I have is supposed to be a report from a septic pumping meeting with Geno Septic. However, on May 5th, the day the tanker was supposed to be on the ferry, they had mechanical problems and was not able to make it to Gustavus. The meeting is now scheduled for the 19th of May, and hopefully we'll be able to have our meeting. We made a contingency to do a Zoom meeting in the event he's not able to come over on the ferry. Our FEMA funding update, all of our projects are in. They've been reviewed by the team and submitted for payment. We have all but one project obligated for payment. So we should be receiving those funds soon. I'll mention that depending if we receive it before July 1st, those monies will be credited to the fiscal year 22 budget. After July 1st, the fiscal year 23 budget. We've provided the ability to roll these funds over into fiscal year 23 if we receive them in fiscal year 22, as we have not identified a project to spend those funds on in the next month. Budget development, we're going to introduce the budget this evening for fiscal year 23. I do want to give special recognition to our Gustavus Visitors Association and to our local businesses. They have done an outstanding job in marketing visitors to come to Gustavus. As the treasurer reported, our local revenues far outperformed our projections and are keeping with our long-term trends for financial growth in that sector. Just an awesome job by Leah and Gustavus Visitors Association and our local businesses that put in the work coming off of the tail end of that pandemic, looking at what other areas in the region have done. I think dollar for dollar, Gustavus is outperformed all other communities. So excellent job. Our infrastructure bill grants. We have contracted with Solstice Alaska Consulting to do grant writing for us. We have multiple projects that we've submitted to them to keep an eye out for opportunities. We currently have them working on our heat pump grant and on the lookout for funding opportunities for other infrastructure bill grants. In addition, they're looking at ways to make our grants more competitive. Many of these grants are nationwide competitive grants, and the ability to score as high as possible gives us better opportunity for funding. They've identified some improvements that we can make, and we're working on those. The road teams have been very active. Big shout out to Justin and Ponch for all the work that they've done, both in keeping our roads as smooth as possible and also working on special projects with the mayor. You may have seen improvements over off of Fairweather, an excellent job in ditching and culverting in front of the church there. As most of you know, we had a lot of snow, flooding, and ice dams in the ditches over there, which had caused the water to back up and created many problems for the folks over there. If you haven't been by there, take a look. It is picture worthy, the quality of the work there. Ben touched on our steel float update. I'm going to be contacting DOT tomorrow morning to try to get an update on when they plan to be here with Western Marine, see if they have an update on when the parts will be manufactured, and hopefully we'll have some news out to everybody when the floats will be available. That's all I have, Mayor, unless there's any questions.
Thank you, Tom. Do we have any questions from council members? Looks like council member Sharman has a question.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I know we've had a limited experience so far with Solstice and grant writing, but do you have any sense of our satisfaction with them to date? And a follow-on question, do you think they have capacity to do additional grant writing for us if we so request?
Thank you, Council Member Sharma. That's a good question. I'll answer the last one first. In looking over their portfolio, they have success in a broad range of different industries for grant writing. I think that they have the capacity, given what we've received in the recent past with work on not only our heat pump grant, which is a Denali grant, but also in suggestions for us to score as high as possible on some of these competitive grants. The Build Back Better infrastructure grants comes in waves. They've already gone through two of the infrastructure bill grants, the latest being the RAISE grants. It's a construction grant, and it ended in early April. So we did not get an application in this year for that. However, some of the other grants provide planning and design, which are requirements for construction grants. And they're familiar with those types multi-phase grants and again are working on ways to make us more competitive to get some of the funding. It's kind of a mixed bag for us. We're a small community. We're not asking for large dollars, but a lot of these grants have minimum grant entry levels. For example, the RAISE grant had $1 million minimum project cost. And so if we have a grant, say the heat pumps that are significantly less, we want to qualify for that particular grant. So they look for other opportunities like the Denali grant, which is more focused on rural communities and different aspects of eligibility, like we're doing energy conservation, energy improvement. And I think they're going to be able to point us in directions to improve our ability to get as high as possible on the scoring. One example was the match requirement. Typically, these federal grants have a 20% match. We're able to submit in-kind match, but they were also pointing out other ways that we could improve our score and reduce the amount of match that we'd have to make. So to answer your question, yes, I think that they have the capacity based on their portfolio. And I think we'll have success with them based on the input that they've provided for us over the last month or so.
So my understanding generally is that these types of outfits are plenty busy these days. Do you think that they, do you have any sense at all of whether they have time to do more work for us if we ask them to?
Yes. So we talked to them about what our needs were, and they reached further than just the big dollar federal grants. They were recommended to us by Alaska Municipal League, and that was because of their work in Alaska with rural communities. They are very busy. We actually had tried to get another firm on board. And just in the 2-week delay, while we considered their portfolio, they maxed out and wasn't able to take us on as a client. In speaking with the project manager for our community, grants that we're trying to submit, they made a commitment, and I think they'll follow through on it. They are spread pretty thin because there's such a demand for grant writers. But their project planning appears to provide for stepping different aspects of the grant preparation to different communities. So 1 week we may not be able to get a lot of feedback from them because they're working on something else or they're traveling for training. But sometime in that week, they get back to us and say, well, I'll be able to get back to you the following week. So yes, I think they'll be able to assist us if we identify grants or if smaller grants become available. Once they get the basics for our community in place, then it's just filling out the cover sheets for these grants and plugging in the necessary information. It's a traditional way for these grant writing firms. They acquire all the information in the community. They've received our capital improvement plan, so they know what projects we're looking for. And even when these grants come out with a 2-week window, they're able to rapidly get the first step, the application, into the agency. And then the competition begins.
Any other questions for our city administrator from the council? Get my thing to come back up here online. There we go. Okay, I'm not seeing any others. I'd add to what Tom said about the grant agency. I've been working with Olivia Pfeiffer, who's working on our heat pump project grant that we're applying for, and she has been very responsive. In fact, she and I were emailing back and forth. She asked me for some additional information. I got it back to her today. She, even though she was traveling, she was getting right back to us. So I'm very satisfied so far. So any other questions for Tom that anybody I've missed here from the council? Okay. I think everybody's aware that Tom is retiring from the city of Gustavus soon. And he and his wife, Kathy, are moving to Sitka to be with family. He's graciously agreed to, even after he departs on the ferry later this week, to continue to work part-time from Sitka to keep some of the grant things going, make sure that we tie up the last odds and ends with the FEMA funding for our flood stuff that he spent so much time on. So he'll be helping us out while we're in a transition period until we have a new city administrator online, as we're recruiting now. And I have a letter I'd like to read with my thanks to Tom for his service for this city here, which has meant so much to me. It reads, "Dear Tom, congratulations on your retirement after nearly 4 years of fine service to the city of Gustavus. We were fortunate to draw you from your previously intended retirement to join us as our very first city administrator. The city council, city staff, and I as mayor have greatly appreciated your mature professionalism, your dedication to the well-being and support of staff, and your effectiveness in ensuring quality service delivery to our community. The experience and skills you brought to the job have helped our young city develop into a more effective organization. We are a better city for your efforts, and you helped us get a lot more done for Gustavus. We would not be receiving the substantial FEMA recovery funding this year, but for your patience and attention to detail during the long and often frustrating process. Thank you also for agreeing to continue to advise us as that process nears completion and as we transition to a new city administrator this spring. As you relocate to Sitka, we will miss you, but we appreciate the joy and active retirement will bring with family and grandchildren. We wish you and Kathy the very best and hope you will find time for visits back to sunny Gustavus. With appreciation and kind regards, Mike Taylor, mayor." And so, and in addition, with this letter, I'd like to give you a strawberry pin of our seal. I hope you'll wear it from time to time to remember your time here with us. So,
thank you
very much. Thank you very much. Okay. The next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. This comment period is for non-agenda items only and is not intended for discussion. If you would like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and re-mute you until it is your time to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You will have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief. We'll have a 2-minute time limit on any comments. So thank you. Do any members of the public have any comments on a non-agenda item? If so, we'll look for your hand to raise on the Zoom. Nobody else here in the room. We have four members of the public here in the room, by the way, for those of you not here. Okay, well, we'll have another opportunity at the end if something occurs to you that you'd like to speak to us about that's non-agenda. The next item is the consent agenda. And we have five items on the consent agenda. These are things that usually are fairly routine items that don't generate discussion by the council or the public. And they are, we'll have an opportunity to remove any of these if you wish, but they are first to approve an extension of our managed IT services, a routine extension to our existing contract, to approve a scoping document for the Meadow Trails Trailhead Parking Improvement Project. And I'll mention that that one is, we actually already have a start on that one. While we were excavating the ditch along Fairweather, we had some very nice beach sand that was coming up in the ditch. So rather than haul it off somewhere, we decided to take it to this site and use it to fill some of the holes. So we were able to put two truckloads of good material in there to get the that trailhead started, and Glacier Bay Construction actually spread it out for us and compacted it at no charge even for the city. So so we got to start on that, a little more to do there. The next item is to approve a scoping document for the renovation of the old preschool building. And these are all in the packet, by the way. Then there is to approve a scoping document for the Gustavus Public Library bike shed. And then finally, a certificate of records destruction that we do every month. I think you all know the drill on that one. These are all in the packet and are fairly routine things. Do any members of the public wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? And if so, we can move it to new business. We have Leslie Sirstad with, did you wish to remove something? But she's asking what the first one was on the consent agenda. That is to approve an extension to managed IT services. That's just our contract that we have with an IT firm. And it had a more or less automatic extension opportunity in the contract. They are the people that do our, if we have a problem with our computers, we put in a ticket and they fix them online. They're very efficient, and I certainly appreciate their service. Okay, so we'll leave that on the agenda. Okay, I don't see any other requests from the public. Do any council members have any of these items that they would like to remove from the consent agenda? Okay, I'm seeing shaking heads no around here and nothing on the screen. So I see we have a motion then scheduled from Council Member Joe van der Zanden to approve the consent agenda as for unanimous consent. Council Member van der Zanden?
Yes, I move we adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
We had seconds from both council members, Sharman and Furr. Clerk says Lewis. She caught Lewis first. Thank you. Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent from the council? Hearing none, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. We'll move on then to item 13 on the agenda. This is the first ordinance for public hearing. And the first one is FY22-12 departmental budgets. This was introduced in the April meeting and is a series of routine adjustments to the budget that we make to For example, when we have more income coming in than we anticipated and put in the budget line, it moves that income into or receives that income. And as the year progresses, and particularly as we get near the end of the year, we balance out some of the accounts, identifying expenses we didn't need to make, and maybe some other categories where we needed a little bit more in the budget, such as due to increased fuel costs and so forth. So this is a series of those items. I believe we have a motion to approve from Councilmember Sharman.
Point of order.
Did I? Public hearing first. Okay. The clerk reminds me that I jumped an item here on the before the motion. We call for any public comment on this agenda item. Are there any members of the public with testimony or comments on this item? Okay, seeing none. Public hearing then is closed on it. And now we'll move to Councilmember Sharman for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move for council approval of fiscal year 22-12 NCO departmental budgets, April 19th, 2022, as introduced on April 11th, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve ordinance FY22-12 NCO departmental budgets. 4/19/2022 was introduced on 4/11/2022. Do any council members have any comments or discussion on this agenda item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote?
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you very much. This takes us to item number 14, FY22-13 NCO departmental budgets for fiscal year 22. This was introduced April 25th. 2022 at our special meeting. And I'll remind people what this is for. This will move into our checking account line $550,000 temporarily to make payments as necessary for the Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge construction project. This project is 100% funded by the Fish and Wildlife Service, but they, as we get invoices, as the project proceeds for things such as engineering consultation help on checking the bridge design or any other engineering items that come up and the payment for the bridge package when it's ready to ship, we need to be able to write a check to the contractor to cover that expense. And then we immediately file for the reimbursement with Fish and Wildlife, and we have their guarantee that they will pay immediately. We actually have we're set up on their grants website to immediately claim are that submit that invoice for reimbursement. So what this does is puts money in the account for us to use for those payments that will be reimbursed. And then once we are entirely done with the project and it's all been reimbursed, then the money will be back in the checking account, and we'll do another NCO to move it back into capital reserves. So that's what that one's about. Do we have any, we'll open a public comment, a public hearing on this item. Do any members of the public have any comments to make on this?
Mayor Taylor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your computer has a different time than mine, so it would be helpful for me in my minutes if you announce the time that you open and close the public hearing.
Sorry. Okay, we will start our public hearing then on this at 8 o'clock. So 8 o'clock is the starting time for the public hearing. Do any members of the public have any comments on this item? Okay, there are no public comments showing up on the screen. So we'll close the public comment period at 8:01. And do any council members have any comments on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please? Oh, do we have a motion on this? We didn't do a motion on this.
Thank you, Lewis. I was just about to say
that. I should be following my script more closely here. I believe we have a motion from Council Member Furr to approve this item.
Yes, this is Councilmember Furr. I move to approve fiscal year 22-13 NCO departmental budgets for fiscal year 22 as introduced April 25th, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Van der Zanden, second.
Okay, Van der Zanden, Councilmember Van der Zanden, second. So it's been moved and seconded to approve FY22-13 NCO departmental budgets for FY22 as introduced 4/25/22. And once again, to get this back in order, I'll ask the council if any council members have any comment on this item. Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. Now we move on to new business. The first is item 15. This is FY22-14 NCO, the introduction of the FY23 budget with scheduling a public hearing for June 13, 2022. That's for our general meeting in June. So if anybody's not clear on this, what we're doing here is introducing the budget for public review and comment. And we are scheduling a public hearing for the June meeting, at which time the council will take action on it. So public comments on this would be with regard to introducing the budget. And there'll be plenty of time for input from the public on the budget over the next month and at the public hearing that will occur in June. I believe that Councilmember Muscoviac has a motion to introduce this budget. Looks like you are still muted, Councilmember Muscoviac. You're not lighting up on the screen here.
Hope that's, am I there now?
Yes, now we can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, I move to approve introduction of FY22-14 NCO FY23 budget public hearing of June 13th, 2022.
Thank you. Do any council, is there a second for this motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by council, by Vice Mayor Bishop. And so it's been moved and seconded to introduce FY22-14 NCO, the FY23 budget for a public hearing in June 13, 2022. Do any members of the public have any comments on this introduction? I'm not seeing any comments come up on the screen. Okay, do any council members have any comments on this? It looks like Councilmember Sharman has a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I plan to vote to approve introduction of this budget, and everyone knows now that we're still a month away. We have a month to discuss this and fine-tune it. And I just want everyone to know that I'm sympathetic to reducing this budget, and any council members or members of the public who would like to discuss that with me, I would love to hear from you in the next month. In particular, I'm very interested in specifics about how you would propose to reduce the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other council members have any comments on this budget introduction? Looks like Councilmember Lewis does.
Thanks. I have a question about the budget itself. Can we look at it?
We could entertain a question and try to get you an answer, I'm sure.
Page 14, at the very bottom, there is a income or a prior year cash balance of $300,000.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yeah.
This is the clerk. Are you looking the packet or are you looking
yes.
at, because the
yes.
packet has numbers.
Yep, okay. Packet number four, page 14. I think it's at the bottom of, oh no, I'm sorry. It's page 85 of the packet and I guess 14 of the budget. So at the bottom there, at the prior year cash balance of $300,000, just trying to understand this, make sure we all understand this, and then it's included as income, so that the net income of the year's budget is $318,000 and change. Why is, I'm just curious why, where that comes from and why we're considering prior year cash balance as income.
Thank you, Councilmember Lewis. The prior year cash balance has to be accounted for somewhere, and we transfer those funds into fiscal year the following fiscal year as a matter of practice. If I'm understanding your question, you're asking why do we recognize that in the upcoming fiscal year 23 budget? So we initially, when we had discussed the budget several months ago, we were projecting $100,000. However, based on the revenues that we've been receiving, we recognize that that amount is going to be significantly higher. For example, we've received federal funding since that introduction of the rough draft budget. So that's why it's in there. We bring it over now. If the council wants to transfer that into a savings account, we certainly can do an NCO and move it from the budget into one of the AMLIP accounts. But it's a procedural transfer of what's carrying over from fiscal year 22. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, you know, our savings account, our reserves, and our surpluses, and how they all work together. But basically, it seems like this year's budget, with the projections anyway, the proposed budget completely evens out with just like an $18,000 surplus. But then if you include 2022's surplus, that goes up to $318,000. And then the council decides what to do with that surplus. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a good way to summarize it. We also believe that that rollover amount will increase. For example, if we get a payment on our PILT, or if we get a payment from FEMA this fiscal year versus next fiscal year. Again, it's a projection, and until we actually receive funds as they start to trickle in, that balance is going to be fluid like it did with fiscal year 22. As you probably remember, we were very conservative because of the pandemic, and that accounts for why we have such a large carryover, because our projection for the fiscal year was so low. Again, with the outstanding work of our local businesses and the funding from one-time revenues like ARPA, that number has well exceeded what we were expecting. So yes, that's a really good way to describe it.
Great.
Thank you. Councilmember Lewis, I might add something to that. This is a standard practice in municipal budgeting. And in fact, in the council training that we have from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Community and Economic Development, they have we spend some time on the basic budgeting process. And one item in that, in balancing your budget, is to apply carryover from the previous year. So that's what we're doing. And I note that this is real money. This is money that we've actually already received. It's income that we've already received, essentially. Unlike the tax revenue that we're expecting and projecting to get throughout the year, this is money that is already received. So money in the bank, in a way. So standard practice and for us to do that. And because we every year have a significant surplus, we always end up with more revenue than we spend in the operating budget. Every year we end up rolling some of that on into savings that we then either builds our savings, which currently we're now at 4.2 million or something in the bank. And we draw from that for capital projects. So that's what the process is, standard accounting process for municipalities. Any other council comments or questions on the introduction of the budget? Okay, I'm not seeing any more, and I'll echo Lewis's comment to for asking people to. Oh, it looks like Tanya has another question. Tanya?
Yeah, I do. Just one more question. Page 87 of the packet. So that is the salaries. And as all the council members know, they're, you know, I think that gets the highest amount of scrutiny from the public, our salaries. And I'll just say that I fully support all the pay raises. They're well deserved. My question is about the administrator position in light of Tom leaving. Two questions. One is that still a reasonable estimate for a new administrator? And the second question is, if we make this a salaried position, does that not really decrease our flexibility in terms of if our revenue goes down and we need to cut hours? Because that's a tool that we have, that we always have to work with, is that we could cut hours. But if we have a salaried for 100,000 a year, that's about 25,000 more than last year, I think, as far as I can tell. Is that realistic for this year? And is there, just wanted to bring up that possible problem with a salary and that not being flexible for future years. Thank you.
I can take a shot at answering that. The we are in the process of recruiting, and we listed a range of salaries in there, and we budgeted for the upper end of that range, not knowing, well, because we don't know what the range of applicants will be, what skills they may bring to the job, what experience they may bring to the job. Some city administrators, and even in cities our size or not much bigger, make more than the upper range of that. Some make a lot less than even the bottom range of that. So we put a range in the budget. We will only know what we're paying after we have successfully recruited and made arrangements with an applicant to take the position. So that may very well be adjusted, and we'll spend what we need to spend to pay the applicant fairly for the skills they bring and the amount of work they do. With regard to the intent to make it a salaried position full time, that would be my goal, and we will need to discuss with applicants how that fits their availability and so forth. We're budgeting for that. It's not impossible for us to change to an hourly arrangement if it looks like that's a better fit for the expectations of whoever takes the job. So I'm sorry if that's a little vague, but has to be at this stage in our recruitment. That could, by the way, change by in June if we have made a hire by that point.
Great, thank you.
Okay, it looks like Councilmember van der Zanden has a comment or a question.
I agreed with Lewis there that I'm not in any position to agree with this budget yet. And it would be great to be able to talk with council members about it, but I don't know how we're supposed to do that without violating the OMA. I could write a letter and state my views, but there's no back and forth. And that doesn't seem to happen that much in these meetings either. So just what are we allowed to do?
We have Councilmember van der Zanden, I think we all appreciate that issue, and we'd all like to be able to discuss it. We do have a work session scheduled before the general meeting, the week before, and that would be an ideal time for us to discuss, say, input we received by then from the public, and any thoughts that council members have. And we can do that in a work session openly and spend as much time as you want. If somebody wants to schedule an earlier work session, you could ask me to do that, and we could do that too if you want to discuss things earlier. So just the council could let me know about that. Looks like Councilmember Sharman has a comment.
Yeah, just I understand, Joe, what you mean. I mean, you know, the formality of these public meetings, be they general meetings or work sessions, tends to kind of quash the back and forth between us. And that's our own fault. I mean, the purpose of a work session is for us to have those conversations and those discussions. So we just have to remind ourselves to do it and not hold back and worry about what the public is hearing us say. I think that's as much our fault as anything, but that's how we have to do it, at least for more than a group of three of us at a time about one issue.
Thank you, Councilmember Sharman, nicely put. And I hope that in the work session in June that all council members will be able to be here in the room. That makes it easier for us to have discussions like that. But a work session, of course, is a public meeting, and we're doing the public's business, and the public is, of course, welcome to Zoom in or come into the room and listen. Councilmember Lewis, another comment or question?
Yeah, thank you. This is a comment. I appreciate this dialogue because I've been puzzling over the same thing, how we really get to the meat of it as a council and make decisions. And one thing, part of my questions, I'm kind of trying to compare this proposed budget to the proposal of Susan Warner that a lot of people have been writing in support of. And it seems to me that this budget actually does fits the criteria that she has suggested. And I wonder if, you know, there's any way we can draw that information out. You know, we have over $750,000 in savings. We have money for roads for next year. You know, the only difference I see is that our salary projection is higher than our tax revenue. But you know, I'd love to hear from people how that is really different from, you know, if we have surplus and we're going to put it into salary versus capital projects. To me, that makes sense because you need personnel to oversee the capital projects. So it would be nice to kind of get into the meat of that and remember, Councilmember Sharman brought it up a couple of months ago, like how much is too much savings? So we're kind of in this place where, you know, sort of a caught between not wanting to spend too much money, but not wanting to save too much money. So anyway, there's a lot to it, and I look forward to discussions. Thanks.
Thank you. And I'll mention, as I did, I think in the work session, there have been references to the resolution that we wrote as a council in 2019. And in fact, I wrote that resolution, and I am fully in support of everything that it says. It means as much to me now as it did then. And essentially it says that we will be conservative in our generation of the budget, taking into account the growth of population of the community, the growth of needs of the community, and the growth of revenue that we have, such that we propose a balanced budget, in fact, a very conservatively balanced budget. And so that I think is an important guiding document for us, but it represents what is sound fiscal management. We should be budgeting with an under expectation of revenue and an an over expectation of what our expenses are and making sure that we're going to have a balanced budget under those conditions. And at this point, we've got not only a balanced budget, but we've got a huge surplus scheduled. So I'd also note that the money that the city spends is tax money that comes in from the public. It's also locally, it's also federal funds. There have been some questions about whether we are somehow relying unreasonably on federal funds, and maybe we shouldn't be considering federal funds. But every municipality and every state includes federal funding in their budgets. It's part of how states and municipalities are funded in the United States, because the federal government can gather tax revenue much more effectively and easily than can a city or a state. And so we all pay federal taxes, and a portion of that federal tax comes back to our state and to our municipality in programs that are funded by the federal government. And those are programs that our congressional delegation, our two senators, our representative, fight to get the best deal they can for Alaskans, for the state, and for municipalities. They want us to be able to use that money, and they work hard to get it for us. And we qualify for it. If we were to somehow ignore or refuse the federal funding that's available through things like payment in lieu of taxes and the forest receipts that we use for roads and so forth, if we were to maintain the same level of services, we would have to increase local taxes significantly. So by making the best use of federal money that is available to us that we qualify for, we are able to provide more and better services to our community and keep the local tax rate down. And our intent, if anybody was wondering here, is it's clear from the surplus that we are proposing that we don't have any need to raise our tax rates. We have an increase in revenue that's coming from natural growth in the economy of Gustavus. And we are just doing our best to put that money to the best possible use for our community, to do the kinds of things that the community has asked us to do, roads and flood control, bridges. I'm thinking in terms of a lot of public works here, but also the operation of our fine library, our DRC. We have a fire department that performs wonderfully, responds to fires and EMS calls. And it's our job to use the money that we have available that has already been collected and is being collected from through our various revenue sources to provide the best possible service that we can to the community. So that's the idea behind it. Looks like Louis Sharman has a question on that or a comment.
Thanks, Mike. I wonder if I could ask you to direct the treasurer to generate tax revenue projections for the next fiscal year based on reductions in sales tax of 1/2, 1.5, and 2%.
In other words, you're suggesting that if we were to reduce the sales tax rate from the current 3% to lower levels, what the incomes would be?
Correct.
I'm sure that we could generate that for you.
Thank you. Like.
Presumably it would take a vote of the public to reduce the taxes just as it does to add it. Okay. Any other comments from council members? Okay, then. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on introducing the FY23 budget?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Sherman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. And I once again, I would echo what Councilmember Sherman said about asking the public to study our budget. If you have questions, you can contact the treasurer, email the city administrator for answers, or email me and we'll try to get an answer back to you and explain what's behind any particular budget item that you have a question about. Okay, that takes us on now to item 15. It is CY22-10. It's a resolution updating the policy and procedure for public records maintenance retention schedule. That's the resolution is in the packet, and the records retention schedule is attached to that. Madam Clerk, would you mind giving us just a brief summary of the work that you've done here so the public can know what we're working on here?
Thanks, Mayor. So we actually just updated this policy and procedure, and after working through our updates and going through some records, specifically human resources and payroll, there was some overlap. There weren't changes made in those sections previously. And it became clear that there was some overlap, and there was some serious items that for reports that we don't actually even generate. So I needed to make some updates to those sections to make it all work, make it easy to file, and not have duplicate copies everywhere and that sort of thing. So just some minor edits to make it actually work.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I believe Vice Mayor Bishop has a motion to adopt this resolution. Oh, we'll have to read it too. If we can have the motion first, though, that'd be fine.
Yeah, thank you. I move to approve CY22-10, updating policy and procedure for public records maintenance and records retention schedule.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Councilmember Sherman seconds. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt CY22-10, updating policy and procedure for public records maintenance and records retention schedule. And I'll read the resolution here, as we're required to do with any resolution. And it's also on your screen. Resolution CY22-10, a resolution by the City of Gustavus updating the policy and procedures for public records maintenance and with Appendix 1 records retention schedule. Whereas the Gustavus City Council recognizes that a records information management and retention policy is essential to the proper maintenance, storage, and destruction of all records used, created, received, maintained, or held by the municipality. And whereas the City of Gustavus last updated its public records maintenance policy and procedure, Appendix 1 records retention schedule, effective February 14, 2022, and whereas this policy will reduce requirements for storage space, ensure consistency in deposition and disposition and handling, and reduce chances for reckless disposal. And whereas the Gustavus Municipal Code 2.70.030 requires the mayor to approve a records retention schedule that details the types of records that will be retained and the period of time for which they will be retained. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council updates this policy and procedure for public records maintenance, Appendix 1, records retention schedule attached, and made a part of this resolution. Okay. Do any members of the public have any comment on this resolution? Not seeing any hands coming up. Do any council members have any comment on this resolution? Okay, seeing none, it's pretty routine. Let's go to the vote then. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. And thank you, Madam Clerk, for the work on this records retention improvement. That's what these kinds of improvements are, what makes our city evolve to an ever more efficient operation. And I really appreciate that, the work by our clerk on this item. We now move to item 17, to approve scoping document, heat pump installations for city buildings. And I believe Tanya, Councilmember Lewis, has a motion on this item.
Yes, I move to approve scoping document, heat pump installations for city buildings.
We have a second. I'll second it, just to move it forward. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the scoping document for heat pump installations for city buildings. And I'll give a summary of what this is about. I wrote the scoping document. We have, for quite some time, I've hoped that we could electrify the heating systems for five of our buildings, City Hall, the Fire Hall, the DRC office, the old post office that we're renovating to put into commercial use, and the community chest, to take us off of oil heat for those facilities, reduce our carbon footprint, and free us from the wild volatility and fuel prices that is has become all the more evident in recent weeks here, with the price of fuel doing what it's doing. So we had an opportunity. There are grants available through the Infrastructure Act and specifically through the Denali Commission currently for energy energy conservation improvements and for the purposes of reducing carbon footprint and so forth. Those grants are available with a relatively short grant deadline that comes this month. And so I've been working with Dean Weichel, who has agreed to join me in managing this project. And we have written the scoping document, and we have already submitted information to the grant writers for this project. We're hopeful of getting of receiving a Denali grant to support this project. If we do receive a Denali grant, we'll have a 20% match, but we have already qualified a significant portion of that to be covered by an in-kind in-kind work on the project for project management and the financial work by the treasurer and so forth to cover part of that match. And the Alaska Power and Telephone Company is adding to our cash, or is giving us their incentive of $500 per heat pump, which will also go against our match. So our match, if the high end of the high end estimate of the project at something like $50,000 with a contingency and all that is reached, then we would have about a $5,000 match that we would have to actually come up with the cash for. So we'd get a whole bunch of heat pumps installed for a net cost to us of only about $5,000, about the price of one snow plowing, by the way. So that's what this one is about. And we have a motion already. So do any members of the public have any comments on this item? Leslie Sirstad has come. Would you step up to the microphone, please, Leslie, so people can hear you? Okay.
I think I'm supposed to say I'm Leslie Sirstad.
Yes.
Needless to say, it's evident.
Needless to say, we all know
here in the building. All right. I'm not good at this. I'm not a mechanic. But how are these heat pumps powered that you're talking about? Okay.
I can answer that when we we don't go back and forth with public comments, but I'll answer that in my comments. Do you have any other questions?
If you don't, I'll ask you in the next one.
That'll be fine. Okay. Do any other members of the public have any comments on this approval of this scoping document? That the scoping document approves the project to proceed is the purpose of this. Okay, seeing no other comments from the public, do any council members have any comment? And I'll answer Leslie's question in a minute. Looks like Councilmember Vander Zanden has a comment.
Yes, I have some comments about this. I've been studying this for the last couple of weeks since I learned about it being on the agenda. And from everything I've learned so far, I don't think this is a wise move for Gustavus. It's going to greatly increase our electrical cost without any change to the rate base, as has been hoped. The KW load on several of these things is enough to at many times during the year to cause an engine to kick on because the water levels can't quite maintain a 10 or 20 KW bump. And once an engine is on with a 6-inch stack and a 30% efficiency, it's going to neutralize any carbon savings in pretty short order. I talked with Mark Berry at length today, and I know that he's given you a quote on these things. He said he's done about a dozen of these so far, and he's got, I think, three more on the docket. He's pretty busy, but he's nervous about this because of the maintenance that's required, that they run like a refrigerator. You can get a Freon leak, and he's not certified to work on that stuff. He can't legally get Freon out here. So if there is a problem like that, and there will be sooner or later, there's already been at least one in town where you have to fly somebody. It can cost hundreds, if not a thousand or two, to repair the thing. From what I've read, they have around a 15-year lifespan. And if that's the case, then the depreciation would be over $400 per year on each unit. Mark also told me that he didn't think it was prudent to put one of these in the preschool or the community chest because they hardly have any heat on just a few hours a week, at least the chest does. And it's a big expense for so little return. He also didn't think the fire hall would be very efficient with the heat pump because it's a drafty building and they don't do well with that. In the end, as I believe I've read in your comments earlier, or what was written, that the Toyos would be depended on for the lion's share of the heat in the winter. So that leaves very little return for all the expense of these things. I guess that's about it. I'm just not in favor of it. So thanks.
Any other comments from council members? Council member Sharman.
I'm really, that's really good information to have. And I'm confess that I'm a bit dismayed that we're up against a deadline now to receive a grant, and yet we didn't have complete information in time to make a smart decision. I don't know what else to say.
Any other comments or questions from council members? Council member Vanderzander.
This is Jim Mack. Can you hear me?
Oh, looks like Jim Mack. Okay. Yes, Jim.
I'd like to. I appreciate what Joe had to say there, and I'm thinking along those lines myself. I mean, right off the bat, this old post office building. I mean, we don't really even know that there's a use for that. Yeah, we're already planning to install a heat pump in it. I think the prudent thing to do would probably be to install heat pumps in City Hall and maybe the office of the fire hall. And start from there. That's fairly modest. Those are intensively used facilities, and just see how things work.
Council member Vanderzander, did you have an addition? It looks like your hand's up again.
Yeah, just one other comment. I didn't know that this had already been turned over to Solstice, but according to the information posted, their price on this was going to be $7,700 to apply for this grant. And then if the city has to kick in $5,000, like you said, or more, then we're into it $12,500 or more. And that just doesn't make economic sense to me. We're not going to get that back. And so thank you.
Council member Moskowiak again. Looks like you have another hand up.
I thought I took my hand down.
Oh, okay. It looks like council member Sharman would like to speak again.
I'm compelled by the idea of demonstrating one of these in a place that makes most sense, like this building here. What I'd like to hear some more discussion, but and then I'd like some guidance on amending the motion to direct it at one building instead of six. Thank you.
You can make a motion to do that. Let me answer Leslie's question first. She asked how these work and how they are powered. They are electrically powered. And the way a heat pump works is it's like a refrigerator operating in reverse, although actually the heat pump can provide heating during the winter and cooling during the summer if you need to cool. We seldom do. They are compared to resistance electric heating. They are far more efficient. They have what's called a coefficient of performance. And typically for an air source heat pump, like the ones that are in use at a number of residences around Gustavus, and one that I think Mark Berry is actually intending to put in at his place, they have a coefficient of performance of around 2.5 or so, depending on what the temperature is outside and what temperature you're maintaining inside. So that means that if you have a coefficient of performance of 2.5, that means you get 2.5 times the amount of heat delivered into your building compared to the amount of electricity that's used to if you had straight resistance heating from that same amount of electricity. So the electric heat pumps are the way to go, in my view, if we're ever going to get off of fossil fuels for climate change purposes. To me, it makes no sense to continue to use fossil fuels, and especially in a building like, say, the old post office, where we would have to put in a new heating system almost certainly. Ultimately, we have to get off of fossil fuels, and we have to electrify heating and transportation, for that matter. It makes no sense to keep putting it off into the future. We have the responsibility to do things now. And this is a little thing that we can do in our city. Now, we would not throw out the existing legacy fossil fuel systems, since we have sunk cost in them. They would remain and could be used if we had such a cold weather event that the heat pump couldn't handle the heating load for the building. But I anticipate that use of heating oil would go way down. With the park coming online to via the tie line to the park, the cost of electricity will be dropping, and that makes it all the more economical to use heat pumps. So to me, heat pumps are the way to go. It's the future, and we shouldn't be installing fossil fuels in buildings where we're doing new systems, and wherever possible, we should try to convert those buildings to electric heat systems, heat pump systems. So that's my rationale for doing this now. I think it's the right thing to do. It's time to do it. Councilmember Muscoviac, hands up again, I think.
Sorry, my hand seems to go up automatically here, but I didn't have anything to add.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say, though? Okay.
Well, again, you know, we're talking about this old post office building. Am I still there?
You went off. We heard you say something about the old post office building, then you cut out.
It seems to be way ahead of putting the cart ahead of the horse here. I mean, talking about putting a heat pump in the post office building, which we don't even know if there's a use for it. And I'm not sure why we're even considering renovating it until there's some way that we can prove that it'll, you know, be used in a positive manner. But again, I think City Hall should have a heat pump, and maybe the office of the fire hall. That would be a good place to start and see how they work. But hydroelectricity isn't unlimited around here. And we have to acknowledge that. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Looks like Lewis Sherman has another comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to propose an amendment to this motion whenever you're ready.
You may move.
Madam Clerk, I have this written down on a form. And I move for council approval amending the scoping document, heat pump installations for city buildings, to read for only a single building, City Hall, one heat pump with two or three discharge units and a UV air cleaner. Thank you.
Councilmember Sharman, I'm gonna need to know where exactly in your motion that that's being inserted, or your striking words, or?
I'm sorry.
A little more specific.
I'm sorry, let's make this simple. Under objectives in the scoping document, if we could strike all buildings except for City Hall.
So you want to restate your motion then?
Thank you. I move for council approval an amendment to item 17, the scoping document, heat pump installations for city buildings. And the amendment is to remove all buildings from that scoping document except one, which is City Hall. Does that do it? Thank you.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to amend the scoping document to remove all buildings except for City Hall from the scope of the document. Are there any council comments on this amendment? Councilmember Van der Zanden.
I'm still convinced of my arguments, but I think that would receive greater approval with the council than trying to do all these buildings. I think people don't realize how much diesel we are dependent on here. The hydro is finite, especially in the winter, and a lot of times in the dry seasons and during maintenance or breakdowns. And so we would be running heat pumps off of at least partial diesel generation. And at 30 cents a kilowatt, it could cost pretty easily $1 an hour to run one of those things compared to $6 a day for a Toyo. So I don't know. I could go over the numbers with anybody who was interested or wanted to correct me on something, but that's where I'm at on it.
Okay, any other comments on this from other council members? Let's see. I would comment that we can, the way that the document is structured, we could do them in order of priority. I don't know that we would get funding for all of these, by the way. And we would do only the ones that we had funding for. With regard to if we had a period of time when the hydroelectric system was not meeting the demand and we were on diesel, as sometimes happens during the winter, usually there's still a portion of that power that is hydroelectric, so it's not all diesel. And the city could, if it chose, to reduce the load on that, use its existing legacy oil heat system. So we could do that. We have that capability regardless of with the heat pumps in place. So any other comment? Council Member Muscoviac.
Yeah, I think Lewis, Lewis's suggestion here is a good one, and I think we should support it. And we'll get an idea how things work. We get it installed in City Hall. It shouldn't take that much of a process. And we should be able to just pay for that even without a grant and go for it and you know, see where to go from there.
Okay, any other comments on this, on the amendment? Okay, the amendment again is to amend the scoping document for heat pump installation for city buildings to remove all buildings except for City Hall. And for has a star for one single building, City Hall, one heat pump with two or three discharge units and a UV air cleaner. And that was in fact what we intended for City Hall. Okay, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on the amendment?
Councilmember Muscoviac.
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis.
Yes.
Councilmember Furr.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop.
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
No.
Mayor Taylor.
No.
Okay. The motion passes with 5 in favor. And now we're back to the main motion as amended.
Okay, any other, is there any other comment on the main motion? Which would, we can't have any, we're through with public comment. So any other comment from council members on the main motion? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Excuse me, what are we voting on now? The original motion?
We are voting on the original motion as amended. Councilmember Sharman, and it passed.
No.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes with 6 in favor.
Okay, thank you. That concludes our new business, and we move on to city council reports. The first is my mayor's report, which you have in the packet, and I'm going to scan down to it. I'm not going to go over the whole thing in detail because we've had a lot going on here, and we have about almost four pages on that report. We're making excellent progress on road maintenance. I really appreciate the work of Glacier Bay Construction in working hard to make up for or correct all of the damage that was done by the heavy snow, and they're doing a fine job to pull lost gravel back onto the centers of roads and reshape them. Our FEMA flood recovery and mitigation funding is proceeding well. We are expecting to recover well over 100,000 on that. The Fairweather Road ditching project is now complete. We have ditched the north side of Fairweather Road and also actually the west side of Pleasant Avenue, which intersects Fairweather, to provide drainage for that whole subdivision to prevent the kind of flooding that has occurred repeatedly there, and most recently just in late this last winter. So we have new culverts installed in the church driveways, the Growly Bear Lodge driveway, the Hoogie driveway, and that whole section of the ditch is now excavated. So it will now allow water to drain off of that area and move towards the Salmon River along Dock Road, along the ditch on Dock Road. So big shout out to Glacier Bay Construction for an excellent job on that. The large culvert riprap project up at the gravel pits is just waiting for the water table to drop sufficiently, and we'll be doing that in the coming weeks. Similar situation with the Wilson Road drainage improvement project, in which we are installing a new culvert under Wilson Road at Chase to carry water from the ditch on the west side of Wilson Road to the east side. And we are extending the ditch on the east side, the deeper ditch up past the Alaska Fish and Game Cabin site, and installing a culvert there. Fish and Game provided that culvert, and our deal with them was if they would provide the 36-inch culvert, we would install it. So that will be proceeding shortly here now as they find time to fit it into the schedule and the water table drops enough to install the poly culvert.
Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Point of order, we skipped an item.
Oh, we skipped something.
The NCO.
I don't see it on my, which item number is that? It's not on my agenda here.
The last one under new business.
All I see is 17 approving the scoping document.
Oh, that's because it was added after I did this.
Okay. the agenda I'm working on is not, it misses an item that was actually posted. Do you want to bring that one up on the screen? Let me see if I can get to it too here. Finish my report. Why don't we finish my report and then I'll come back to that. The Tong Road Drainage and Flood Recovery Project, I'm working on that with Todd Boris, and he just completed the drawings for that project. We expect to put out an RFQ out for that one. That is entirely FEMA funded. Part of our mitigation program that we've qualified for with the funding for that. Same old road drainage is a project that we will fund locally out of road maintenance money, and it's to put a culvert in at the corner by Tim Sundy and Chuck Bales residence to relieve flooding at that corner and the damage that occurs repeatedly to the road there. We bought a stock of culverts for these projects. We got competitive bids from three or four different suppliers and bought a stock of culverts from Juno on that. Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge is, we issued the, this is the 100% funded project from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Fund, and service. And we have issued a notice to proceed to the contractor on that. The bridge package is under design by Western Wood Structures. And as soon as they are through with the design, which could be any day, we will have it approved by our consulting engineer and then give them another notice to proceed to construct the package and ship it. We hope to construct the project in August. Good River Bridge repairs, the PND engineers have been out on April 29 and completed their site evaluation and will be making a report to us with recommendations on what we should do, particularly about the embankment that is being threatened by a stream that is incising deeply next to the northwest corner of the bridge. Tom talked about grant funding for projects from Solstice Alaska Consulting, and we're seeking grants for a bike trail from the airport to the park boundary with a branch down Dock Road to the dock. That's going to be a very large project, and we are working to develop grant opportunities for that one with our grant writers. Second project is to construct a wave barrier on the dock to protect our float system. And we're working with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities on that one. Third one is the heat pump one that we already discussed. And I mentioned earlier the improvement that we're making on the golf course Meadow Trails parking lot, and we've already done part of that with material that we pulled out of the Fairweather Road ditch. We'll continue to work that. It's a very, very small project using road maintenance funds. The decision by the council last month to rescind our resolutions on the pandemic. We have made masking optional in city public buildings, and we'll continue to monitor public acceptance of that. Internet service to City Hall, ByteNet has offered the city free internet service for 2 years for hooking up to their fiber network. They offered that verbally, and we sent ByteNet a letter asking for a written proposal for that service that outlines what the service will be and what happens at the end of the 2 years of the offer and so forth. We'll look forward to getting their response on that, and I'll bring it to the council for consideration when we get it from them. The city administrator search committee is evaluating applications for the city administrator position. We'll have more to say about that when we get farther through the process. The last item was the beach CRMA. I had a meeting over Zoom or Teams with DNR, with Ben White and Megan Hilgartner from the department there. They are reviewing the comments from the public hearing that we had at our meeting last month. We have asked them to ask the director to sign the agreement and so that we can implement it. But the director's office, director's position is now open. The DNR director has retired, and apparently there's not an immediate intent to replace that position until later this year. So Ben Stevens has suggested that they will write us a letter approving the development plan, which is the main part of the CRMA. It states how we are going to go about managing the beach park. That will authorize us to implement it. And in the meantime, they'll continue to find a way to get it through the rest of the process, get the entire CRMA through the rest of the process with DNR. So that's a quick summary of what I've been working on this month. And so I guess we should go back to what should have been item 19 before. And I'll need to try to find it so I can reference it. Take me a minute here. Okay. Yeah, this is an important one too. And okay, this is ordinance FY22-15 NCO, and I'll give a description of it first and then ask for a motion to publish this for public comment and schedule it for action at the June meeting. And what this does is moves, we're doing here the similar thing that we did for the Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge. We have three FEMA funded projects, the riprap up at the gravel pit, culvert, the Wilson Road drainage improvements, and the Tong Road drainage improvements that are FEMA funded, but FEMA will reimburse us when the projects are complete and we paid an invoice and we give them the invoice and they reimburse. So the total of those is a little less than 50,000. So we are increasing the road maintenance budget by 50,000 to cover that for the rest of this year so that we can complete those projects. Then when when we receive the check back from FEMA, we'll put it back into, I guess into our regular savings account for road maintenance, which is what this is coming out of. So this is a temporary transfer to allow us to complete those projects, pay the contractor for them, and then we will, as on reimbursement, return that to the account. So may I have a motion, please, to publish ordinance FY22-15 NCO and schedule it for public hearing at the June general meeting.
I'll try to do that.
Councilmember Muscoviac.
Okay, I move that the City of Gustavus City Council publish ordinance FY22-15 NCO, an ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of the department budgets for fiscal year 2022, and put it on the agenda for the June 9th. I think it's the June 2022 meeting.
Okay, do we have a second? Councilmember Sharman?
Yeah, I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to publish ordinance FY22-15 NCO, an ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of departmental budgets for fiscal year 2022. Do any members of the public have a comment on this NCO, introduction of this NCO? We'll have a public hearing next month on it. Okay, I'm not seeing any. Do any council members have any comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Okay, we're still under council reports then, or going back to what was item 19 on the agenda. Do any council members wish to make a report on any special projects they're doing? Council Member Muscoviak,
Shelley and I have put together, we've drafted a resolution opposing a constitutional convention, and we'll get that to you here in the next week here.
Thank you. Do any other council members have a report on any projects they're doing? I know Council Member Lewis was starting to work on the old post office renovation. Did you want to say anything about that, Council Member Lewis?
No, we talked about it at the work session, and that led to the scope of work that we approved in the consent agenda, and don't have anything new after that. I think we also had one more meeting with our group, different group, working with Claire Geldof to bring resources and materials to Gustavus to help combat sexual abuse in this town. So I don't have anything to share at this time. We just got a bunch of stuff from Claire today, and hopefully within the next month we will have sort of a plan to present to the council, but still in the works. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for those updates. Any other council members have any report to make on a project? Okay. The last item on this part of the agenda before public comment is city council questions and comments. So this is a little different than the reports part. Do any council members have any questions or comments on things of interest to them with regard to the city? Council Member Vander Zanden.
Yeah, quick question. Have you had any applicants for the administrator's job?
I will say yes, we have. And that's about all that I should say at this point, please.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay, any other council comments or questions? I'll have to figure out what to do about the grant on the heat pumps. The single heat pump system for City Hall will cost more than all of them would have if we do it directly, but I am not sure that we can qualify for a grant for a single heat pump system. It may not reach the minimum for the grant. But I'll try to figure that out. And if it looks like the best thing to do, we'll just ask the grant writer to stop work on that project. Okay. If there are no other council comments or questions, I'm not seeing any, then that brings us to the second opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. The public knows the drill on this, and Leslie Sirstad is raising her hand. Would you step to the microphone, please, Leslie? Or we'll bring her the microphone.
Okay. Again, this is Leslie Sirstead. I do have three items. Sorry about that, gang. The first one is in reference to Mayor Taylor's comments and the vote taken, or no, Mayor Taylor's comments last week at the work session, and then Jim and Shelley's comments tonight about the Constitution for the state of Alaska and the amendment and revision section. I will put in a plug that each one of us, and I'm sure there's a lot of us that have forgotten if we did read it, and some of us that have never read either one of them, but it's simple to get them. Even I, who is not a computer person, can get on the computer and run up either one of the constitutions, and it involves all of us, very important. And it really surprised me on the state of Alaska Constitution, depending on the size of your print, it's only a couple of pages long. So you can memorize that one, okay? In fact, I think it's item 13, amendment and revision to the Constitution. So thank you, Mayor Taylor, for bringing that up. And for anybody that's interested, it's a part of our life and we should know what we're talking about. The second thing is, thank you, Lewis, for your comments on the budget and saying you're interested in maybe discussing the reducing the budget, possibly something on that order. I would like to be among those or able to talk to you about that. Again, I'm not great on budgets, but I'll do what I can. Along that same line, let's see. Oh, Tanya and Joe talked about that as well. You know that at your work sessions, the public cannot comment. Okay, I've learned that. However, at your general sessions, as you brought up, Lewis, even the council members are somewhat hesitant about discussing things. You just make a vote, a quick vote, or something like that, okay? At the work session, even though the public can't comment, they can be there. So I would suggest that you guys just suck it in and stand up. And if you have questions, discuss it among yourselves at the work session, because we can't comment. But we can take in the information and understand more things about whatever the topic is. And then we can better follow you at your general session and maybe have better comments or already know answers to things, okay? So I really would suggest that you go ahead and discuss things and just stand tall and do it. All right. The final thing is, it's not a good idea ever, especially when you're spending other people's money. And when you're spending tax money, whether it's ours or whether the federal government on the bridges or whatever it is, it's a good idea to thoroughly discuss things and not to rush. So tonight you brought up, Mayor Taylor, the heat pump installation. Climate change, all these different things. And of course, climate change is a big topic nowadays. By the time you guys answered your own questions, it was apparent to me that there were a lot of questions out there. And there's a lot of money involved, even though some of us might think not think it was very much money, but it's somebody else's money. So don't go passing bills if you have a lot of questions. Know what you're talking about, okay? So I don't think it's a good idea for whatever reason, maybe save a few dollars or get something more for your whatever money it is you're gonna spend, that you pass that heat pump bill. It'll be available later. Maybe it'll be a different amount of money. Maybe it'll even be cheaper. But know what you're talking about. Don't just run out there lickety-biz. And that's all I got for you. Thank you for your fine work.
Thank you. Leslie Sørstad. Do any council members have any questions of Leslie Sørstad? Okay, thank you again for your wise counsel, Leslie. Okay, I think that is there anything that I have missed, Madam Clerk, as I go through this?
I just want to see if anybody else wants to do public comment.
We had public comment on non-agenda items. Any other, do any other members of the public have any other comments on non-agenda items? Okay, I'm not seeing any more. So with that, do any council members, is there any other business that anybody that I've missed? Okay, with that then we'll adjourn at 9:30 p.m. Thank you all for tuning in and participating in our meeting. Good evening.
And thanks again, Karen.